This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show on K108, heard every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. If you have questions for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080.
Hey, good morning and welcome to the Carol Cox Show. Sitting in here trying to find myself today. It's the Vogue, and we're looking out over the Poly as usual, and it's beautiful. But the volcanic fog is quite noticeable today. Even with the fog, we're still not in Los Angeles. Isn't that awesome? So this is naturally, the earth is alive, and with some of our pollution, of course, when we don't see winds and what have you, our cars do contribute. And for us, we tend to think that we're pure and clean because we have a wind, the trade winds that blows all of our trash and nasties out of the air, but that we put in there from cars and burning and all of that. So, and the treatment plants and power, H power and all of that. So it's not all the volcano, but it's still nice to be in a place that's, the earth is still alive and evolving and reminding us. And I have two guests here, probably only going to have one in the next 2 minutes. She came in here now. You're talking about disrespecting the... She comes in and says, oh, where's the lady we're going to meet?
Carol, Carol.
I didn't mean in disrespect.
Well, there's the door, you know. Yeah, she was waiting for the lady, Miss Carol, that was going to... So anyway, if any of you have any help for me, you know, and tell her, you know. But anyway, that's commonplace for me. I get all kinds of advertisements or Miss Carol Cox, and it's like, okay. But anyway, so now that we got that off my chest, and it hurt me so. So I have Andrew Jamila from Waimanalo, neighborhood board and former and also resident, and Shelley Texera Vickery. They're both from Waimanalo, and there's some big issues over there, like Kaneohe, and basically what this is about, in all seriousness, is noise and other activities involving the military. And again, I can save some of you. If you incline to call and say, well, this is a threat to our military, then, okay, you need to call another show, because we hear that all the time, and we are free people and have a right to express themselves and sleep quietly at night, so, and still cheer the soldiers on when they go abroad. So, and if you're inclined to call up and engage in that kind of conversation, I'm not going to entertain that, because then the military can do what's right and to also accomplish the training and do all of that. But we're going to kick that around, and 524-1080, if you care to call in and add to or detract from this conversation. So good morning, Andrew and Shelley. Can you just say hello to everybody out there? And
good morning. Aloha.
Aloha, Mr. Carol Cox.
Okay. Long time no see. Now, what is going on out there? Give us some of the basic foundations that...
Well, I guess I'll start it off. You know, with respect to... We have some training issues up in Waimanalo. And, you know, you have to train to be prepared, and we understand that. And it's just a part where we would like the military to cut off the training time. And I know war does not cut training, you know, war is 24/7, you know, but the thing is, you're in a Native Hawaiian community, and they've got kupunas trying to sleep, mm-hmm. they've got young kids trying to prepare for tomorrow's school, mm-hmm. and, you know, we were asking them if they could at least come down and stop the training at 8 o'clock. Mm-hmm. They're not, you know, Carol, they don't want to help us in that area. The training goes on to 11:30 at night. Mm-hmm. Machine gun fire, rat-a-tat-tat-tat, all hours. Mm-hmm. Big booms going off. You put your kids to sleep at 8, and they're still going to midnight. Mm-hmm. And they got to get up at school. You know, they've got to go to school the next day. Mm-hmm. So you've got to get these kids out of bed 6:30, mm-hmm. get them fed, get them washed, and put them off to school. Now, you know, the first couple hours in class, they're totally not with it, because they're still tired, they're still yawning, you know. So you know, along those lines, I have my partner here, mm-hmm. Shelley Texera Vickery, mm-hmm. can elaborate more on that, because she lives right there at the target area, Carol, right mm-hmm. there.
Okay, I don't know, you know, if you're familiar, Carol, with Waimanalo, but Waimanalo Village borders Bellows. Mm-hmm. And my home is on the corner of the highway and the inner street of Waimanalo Village, Mo'ole Street. So we hear all of the noises that occurs at Bellows, including the vulgar language in the morning, early in the morning when they march. And my street is one street away. I was speaking with mothers who mm-hmm. live on Kumu'ula Street, which is the street which borders Bellows, and she said, you know, that her children needs to listen and hear all the vulgar language, you know, those marching chants and songs that
cadence,
they do.
Yeah.
Cadence, that's cadence. The word.
Ain't no sense in going home. Jody got your girl in gone. Sound off. One, two. Then they throw in that little bit of, yeah.
Flip.
Exactly.
Yeah, we've been there. But they which add is, a little more colorful words.
Which is fine if it's all men, you know, that's
right.
Hearing it. But perfect example of how close our homes are to this noise. So when the bombs and the machine guns and the low-flying aircrafts, you know, it's very disturbing. And, you know, like Andy said, in all due respect to the military and their need to train, I don't know any family in Hawaii that hasn't experienced the loss and the grief of a loved one.
Mm-hmm.
We respect the fact that the military needs to train, but where's the respect for the nearby homes that was mm-hmm. there for so many years prior to this training area mm-hmm. existing?
So some of the listeners out there will understand that this area is Bellows, in that area, and it was formerly military for some long time. And runways were out there, I think, but what generally the public is not aware of, that all died down and it became a R&R area, recreation.
Right.
So
yes,
a long time, the community surrounding that area, was quiet. The Air Force owned that. And we should have known then that something was amiss when they transitioned and the Marines acquired the land, and then the Air Force gave it up. Something, Andy, we worked on that quite extensively. And the Marines showed that way back when we had a field trip up there, and they call out, they brought their German Shepherd dogs, supposedly, to work, and while working with the community. So there should have been some warning there. And I offer that for those out there that say, well, we got to train as soldiers, and you guys are anti-American, and you're this. No. This is about Americans looking for quality of life, and whether food has to go to San Francisco, but you don't run tractor trailer trucks through neighborhoods.
Yeah.
People got to eat. So,
exactly.
What bothers me about it, and I've had many a calls about this, is that not only do they march in the area and the loud noises and the rat-a-tat-tat and the helicopters and all, but then they close the beach off, so the quality of life, so they stress you out, and then one day you want to go to the beach. I was out there just taking pictures when they ran a machine up on the coral and the reef, one stalled and sank. They called the police on me.
Well, you don't hear about those things on the news. You hear mm-hmm. about the neighborhood, how sloppy the mm-hmm. residents are, and they mm-hmm. leave behind all their opala. Mm-hmm. And where doesn't that happen?
Mm-hmm.
And if they announce that in the community, you know, before publicizing it and making the whole neighborhood look so terrible, I would be one, and I know many others mm-hmm. who would join me and go and clean it up.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So when they are out there, how many? So I mean, they come and have they brought in the strikers in that area? Have they? What kind of equipment? I know the LCACs or the landing craft have been there. What kind of machinery are they transporting?
I've seen some wheeled armored vehicles. I've also seen tracked armored vehicles. Mm-hmm. And they've made concrete pads. So they can, you know, more or less run the equipment across the highways and, I mean, across the road, the
mm-hmm.
paved roads.
Mm-hmm.
But, we got this new thing coming in called the Osprey, and mm-hmm. it's scaring us, you know, Carol. We've read many articles about this Osprey and, you know, the flying characteristics of it. You know, we have urban areas right around this base of training, and mm-hmm. it's scaring us. I mean, you know, we've had an excellent record as far as staying away from any accidents, you know, aerial accidents.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we this is just yearly coming up, and you know, we want to put it out there that, you know, we want them to at least adhere to stopping all the noise at 8 p.m. Now, there's other residents who like to stop them totally.
Mm-hmm.
I'm one.
Mm-hmm. Totally, Carol.
Which is understood. I'm confused as to why they had lots of land on the Marine base.
Exactly.
Lots, but they converted that into malls and PXs and Hawaiian putting, golf putting, and what have you.
Mm-hmm.
And why didn't they use that land to march the guys around? Why don't,
I don't
they
understand.
Practice on the...
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it would save on fuel.
Good point.
Why don't they march at night? But Kaneohe is having the same things with noise and in that area. So it seems that... well, let me back up. What are your legislators doing? Now, I recall, as Andrew, you know, there were big concerns about contaminants, and Joe Ryan and myself did an extensive investigation on that,
yes.
which caused the cleanup because they wanted it buried.
Mm-hmm.
And we investigated and compelled them to do it. But then Maisie Hirano stepped in. I won't call her Johnny Come Lately, but she came in lately and got money
to
clean that up. And just to share with the listeners out there why, I think it's a valid reason to ask you folks to ask this question. Do they care about you? Because when they did decide to dig up the munitions and the waste that was out there and the contaminants, what did they do? They took it from one Native community and transported it to PVT and Nanakuli and to a predominantly Native Hawaiian community there.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Because going back to this thing called the CERCLA.
Right.
Carol, you know what the circle. Anyway, they said that, and Carol is right. Years ago, Joe Ryan, myself, Carol, and Kim Kalam, a number of residents, there was this pier dump that the military wanted to put, remember, 4 inches of dirt and
four,
just cover
yeah,
it.
4 inches of dirt and walk
it.
Away.
And walk away and say, okay, it's cleaned up. Now, we argued and argued with the help of Kim, of Carol coming down, and we just knew in our heart, Carol, that there was more stuff under that sand.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, thank goodness they ran out of the money, and, you know, Joe Ryan and yourself say, you know, let's hit the congressional, you know, people and ask for money. And Maisie Hirono was able to give us that money. And, Carol, because of that money, we found torpedoes, bombs, I mean, ammunition, jeep carriers, metal, 55-gallon drums. I mean, the list went on and on and on from just putting 4 inches of dirt and saying, okay, it's clean.
Yeah, and they were, they're on a mission, they being the military higher-ups, because they were telling us that... putting 4 inches of dirt over that would satisfy and would create training, the opportunity for training. And we're asking, wait, 4 inches, a guy could get impaled on the metals and the holes that were there, because this was a formerly used defense site or a FUDS that basically they walked away from and fought tooth and nail not to clean it up, not to take care of it. And then when we compel them to clean it up, they in turn move in with all of their equipment. What an insult. I mean, what a disconnect with that community. It's arrogance. It's un-American as far as if I wish to describe it. It's un-American because you can't cheat the people like that. First, we say you're wrong because you have wronged this community, and then you have to fight and tell them you're wrong Then you struggle to get it cleaned up, and they go, they fought. Didn't want to do it.
Yep, tooth and nail.
Yeah.
And, you know, most local people are raised not to complain. Mm-hmm. Be thankful for what you have. Don't grumble. Be humble. Mm-hmm. And I'm one of those who was raised that way. But as I, now here I am a mother and a grandmother, and I see things differently. You know, I see the neighborhoods who probably have their representative's number or higher up on speed dial, mm-hmm. being a much more maintained neighborhood, and their schools being more upgraded than public schools in other areas. Mm-hmm. So that changed my way of thinking. You know, mm-hmm. although I don't want to be a chronic complainer either, I feel the importance of speaking out for what you believe in your heart is right. And that's mm-hmm. why I'm here today. Mm-hmm. And what is going on in our neighborhood is wrong, mm-hmm. and it needs to stop. I hesitated on complaining about it because I was raised to respect the military. The military is who protects us, mm-hmm. and they're dedicating their lives, which is true, mm-hmm. but they chose that way of life. And so they get my respect. Mm-hmm. Now, we should be respected, and we should be allowed to have peace and quiet in our own homes. When you hear gunfire and bombs going off, it creates violent thoughts. Mm-hmm. I have grandchildren. My grandson runs to me when he hears the bombing. He doesn't anymore mm-hmm. because, what, is he getting used to it? Exactly. You know, it's wrong. It's exactly. wrong.
Acclimated to it. You're listening to The Carol Cox Show. My guest is Andrew Jamila. And Shelley Texera, from both are from Waimanalo. I want to say Waianae, but it's. But one of the things I'd like to ask, and what is the higher ups in the military? How are they receiving you? I know I've always found it distasteful how they send a public relations person with the nicely creased shirt and jeans, or with the, you know, and all of that, and then their spokesperson. But does it go beyond that? Are you received by the higher-ups? Will the colonel, the base managers, do they communicate with you?
Well, we originally asked for the time to be lessened. I didn't want it lessened. I wanted it stopped. Mm-hmm. But I felt, okay, be flexible. Lessened, I guess, would be okay. And their response to that was no. Flat out, mm-hmm. no budging, no. Mm-hmm. So that led us to feeling disrespected, you know, lack of consideration. We asked nicely, and so here we are now. And I think the rest of the neighborhood board, or majority at least, feels that it should stop completely. Mm-hmm. That's what brought us here. I attended a community meeting at the Conneaut Marine Base a couple of months ago, and I presented my concern. Mm-hmm. At that meeting, and the base commander's respond was, the training is so important, and that he is the one that has knocked on doors. He has experienced knocking on doors to inform families of the loss of their loved one, and the training will prevent him from having to knock on more doors, mm-hmm. which kind of made me feel bad for complaining, you know, on one hand. Because I know how that feels. You know, like mm-hmm. I said, you know, I don't know a family in Hawaii or anywhere else to say that hasn't experienced the loss of a military loved one. Mm-hmm. So I kind of felt bad, you know, being there and presenting my complaint. But then I says, no, where's the consideration? Where's the aloha for us? Mm-hmm. You know, for the residents who's lived there for so long, and we're, you know, we deserve peace and quiet in our own homes, mm-hmm. you know.
Now, Andrew, the environmental impact statement, I don't have it in front of me, but I'm sure it addressed the impacts on humans and noise and things. What was said about that? How, maybe you need to revisit that, because if they say that it will have no significant impact, then clearly now the voices are expressing just the opposite.
Yeah, we would love for them to revisit that aspect of the environmental impact, because, you know, they're saying, no impact to any humans or animals, or, you know, how can you not have any impact when you're booming to, you know, 11 at night. I mean, you know, how can you not have any impact when you have machine gun rat-a-tatting to 11:15, 11:20, you know? Mm-hmm. Because basically the range closes at 10 p.m., Carol, okay? Mm-hmm. But they run the range on Hawaiian time. And to all you listeners out there, Hawaiian time is an hour and a half late. Mm-hmm. So the closing time is 10 p.m., but they'll continue the training and the loud fire exercises to 11:30, 11:15. So, you know what I mean? The kids are still awake, cannot go work, you know, they cannot go to school. And this is how complacent they've been. You know, at the last meeting, they sent a representative in the Marine uniform, and I'm not going to say her name, but, you know, she stood up, and we had these complaints about the noise and the training. And she told us, blatantly in front of the whole audience, we just lost four service members in an improvised bombing. Mm-hmm. How dare you guys ask, you know, complain? And, you know, we were like, well, you know, I mean, hey, you know, sister, excuse me.
No, no, wait.
We feel for every Marine and service member. We feel for them. Mm-hmm. But to say that this is on the same line, you know, that this is the same tally as, you know what I mean, we, you know, for the kids.
Now, she made these statements in the neighborhood board meeting.
Yes, so at the last meeting. Yes, Shelley?
We have a policy here on the Carol Cox Show, especially in these circumstances. She was already in the public. She made that statement in the public. Who is she? What is her legal name? I don't know the rank. You say you weren't going to tell her name. What was her name? Because it was made in a public forum.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Is it on record?
Neither do I. It is on record, and all of our neighborhood board meetings are recorded and televised.
Yeah. Well, I've often said that there's this mind game going. While telling you, you start off complaining about beach closures and cleanup, and they know they're wrong because they're responsible for the muck that's there. They know they're wrong, and they were going to give it back. There was a talk about giving it back and allowing. That didn't happen. Then they start to increase the training in increments. Oh, we're just going to come up with a few amphibious practices and what have you. And
Carol, we didn't even know about the moot base, mm-hmm. except one. You know, we see all these trucks coming to Waimanalo with these large moving containers.
Yeah.
And so people were coming to the neighborhood board. What's all these containers going into Billow? We didn't know. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We didn't know, and we had to inquire on our own, and then we found out, Shelley,
right.
What it was.
Yeah.
Well, what I would say, and this is a warning to all the neighborhood boarders and all, you can't sit on the board and be so cordial and kind with them, and then when you find that, hey, they've ousted you or they're causing a significant negative impact on you, now all of a sudden, I think you should be guarded at all times in dealing with the military, because it's not the military, it's individuals. Who in their right mind would tell a community, well, we have to make noise and go kaboom and all of that and create noise and create an uncomfortable setting to this community because someone in Afghanistan used an improvised IED, right? So, first of all, that's just disrespectful. It's our fight, but it's not our responsibility. That's where their professional training beyond that and learning the hire more our spies. Mm-hmm. What does that have to do with, you know, driving down the road and with booms? I'm sorry, that they can do that in other places.
Yeah.
But this is so closely situated, and you can't get away from it, and they're continuing to bring the Ospreys in, and then I'm sure they're going to be using, you're going to be hearing the Cobra come in and the LCACs. And if anyone has ever heard the LCAC, the landing craft, you've heard them.
Yeah.
What was it? Back in 1990, they first used one. I might be wrong where we found it. We tried to cite them for that.
Yeah, you know, Carol, I remember when we first met you, we called Carol because, we were fishing and those big LSTs would anchor off in the bay.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they'd pull up the anchor, you'd see all the coral on the anchor. And we was like, hey, this got to be wrong. You know, there's got to be some law that, you know, when they're pulling up their anchor, it's destroying the ground, the coral. And thank goodness, you know, Carol, we brought that to your attention. You know, we went out there. Joe Ryan and a lot of people made some inquisitions about that. And that, that's when the president... back then, President Clinton, and he set a law in order that you cannot destroy the reefs.
Right.
So now, basically, you know, thanks to that executive decision, the ships don't anchor off in Waimea Island anymore. They use some kind of a GPS to keep them on station, you know, but they're not anchoring. So, you know what I mean? It just goes to show the people that you can be a small little potato, but you can make a difference in this big, you know, frying pot. I mean, you know, by letters and stuff.
What about my remedy is this. I think if you're truly concerned, and I believe it's a valid concern, you're going to have to scold everybody that's responsible. Everybody, and when I say scold, you can take it and apply it as you wish. Your state legislators, your city council, the state Department of Land and Natural Resources, the Fish and Wildlife Service, everyone. Because, you see, they're walking away from it. They're treating it like it's their sister agency, and the people are being impacted. What response have you gotten from DLNR?
We didn't take it that far.
Okay.
Our state representatives, Senator Ryan and Representative Chris Lee, have been having meetings about, you know, this distraught sound and the loud boomings. And to Senator Ryan's persistence, we've made certain focal groups on, you know, the awareness and getting certain documents signed and letters to our congressional leaders. Now we're going, you know, the next step to the congressional leaders and asking them to help us.
Why don't you cut out all the chatter and run to them now because it's election time? I mean, I've said this over and over and over. While we're not savages on the mainland, we know when to step on the accelerator, and I know that the Hawaiian community knows that too. But this politeness that extended, there's a Laura Thielen who's running for office. She stood back, did nothing when she was in DLNR. When you talk about the coral, they didn't issue citations. Hands off. Pohai Ryan, she was in. She should have been pounding the table, doing a dance. But Chris Lee should have been dancing on the table of these folks. But what do? The problem here now, and not only that, and this is how you gauge if they're being sincere, and I'm speaking from me. This is a Carol Cox show. This is what goes on. Lull you into thinking they're doing something for you while they're still bringing in the osprey. So I'm just here to, it's kind of like a reality check here. you might court them, but they're failing you. The Chris Lees, the Poe Irines, the Laura Thielens, and all of the others that are lazy and doing nothing about it but telling, and Mazie Hirono, for example, and Linda Lingle. She was quite active and doing nothing, sitting on her thumbs and doing nothing. It's time for these communities to stand up and start, if it's truly an impact and it's bothering the children, you can't dance with them in one hand and then sit there and then, oh, there's some more trucks coming. What are those? Oh, that's a new equipment they're bringing in. Oh, what is that? Oh, that's a new helicopter they're bringing in. And yet the dialogue is still going and they're coming to your neighborhood board. I don't know. If I was a military, I would say, wow, let's take a copy of this picture and apply the same strategy everywhere because it works. They cry, they complain, and look, we can continue to increase. Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question?
Yeah, I just had a comment. I stayed with an uncle in Waimanalo quite a few years ago. Didn't stay. Went there for New Year's Eve luau. And the rockets and the bombs and illegals started in Thanksgiving in Waimanalo. And same way, 4th of July. The bombs and the illegal fireworks and the illegal fireworks kept going. Doesn't it bother these people too? That's my comment. I'll listen for an answer. Thank you.
This is Ed. I love it. Ed makes the Carol Cox Show. I love it. He's the other side of humanity. A good man. And I invite this kind of talk because, first of all, that means that you shouldn't be here celebrating in Chinatown or you know, when the fireworks go off. You see, this is the mentality that you're dealing with. You know, you got the ones saying, oh, well, we got to protect the soldiers. And, oh, and you're responsible for them dying and the IEDs over there and what have you. And so you better feel sorry and put your head in shame, hang your head, you know. And it's quite all right because there are listeners out there like him, and I respect everything. But imagine what you're dealing with. Of course there's rockets and bombs, but they're celebrating at their own pace, and they also... if I could just remind Ed, they've made it illegal. At least it was legislation. So, you know, while he has a valid point, but we're talking apples and oranges. While the military is continuing to increase, the city and county of Honolulu said no to bombs and rockets. So I don't know. But maybe you should take a play from that playbook.
Well, Ed, you know, keep the calls coming, Ed, because... right now, they've stopped all those illegal fireworks. In fact, it was pretty quiet where I live in Waimanalo this year.
It was quiet.
Yeah. I mean, there was no 4th of July big booms going off other than the military.
July was, but they still had it on in Lanikai, right? The big 4th of July celebration.
Yeah, in Lanikai.
And the difference is, well, to be honest with you, I enjoy the... The firework displays, because of what it represents. It represents the starting of a new year. It represents celebrating of life. Mm-hmm. That's what I think it celebrates and represents.
But every day when you're shaking and your kids can't study.
Big difference.
The family would be... on a New Year's Day, they were expected, and they weren't expecting to be sitting and studying, and all of a sudden, boom, year-round. But anyway, not to focus on Ed, but I love him dearly. I always, you know, you can't be insulting, you know. Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question?
Yeah, Mr. Cox, thanks for taking my call. Just listening to your show, very interesting. I was listening to Mr. Jamila, and I forgot the lady's name.
This is Ms. Shelley Texera Vickery.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
The lady who thinks that I'm a lady.
Okay, well, anyway, I agree with him, and I can empathize with him, because even in Japan, I think in Okinawa, the citizens are up in arm about the Osprey and these other aircraft being there, especially the Osprey, because it's an unstable platform. They've had all kinds of accidents. And I don't think it's because... I think it's because the government officials there and here, they want to play nice with the military because of, I guess, the money that they supposedly spend here you know, and the perks that we get, you know, the tax revenues and stuff like that. But you can't put that over human life, and especially over, you know, like your guests were saying, you know, it's scaring the kids. Just, you know, they can't concentrate. Anybody would have high anxiety all the time with that type of noise.
Right.
I remember when I lived in Mililani, we had a big controversy about, I guess, Schofield, helicopters doing night maneuvers or flying over a complex I lived in, and people were up in arms over that because it would jar you out of your sleep.
Right.
So I can understand. This is tenfold, you know, to that. You know, so anyway, good luck to you.
Thank you so much.
Mahalo.
Thank you.
Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question? Hello? Well, anyway, see what you have to deal with, and if you stand back and take a look at it all.
Not everyone's going to agree. You know, different people are going to look at things in different ways. Like at our neighborhood board meeting a couple months ago when this was a discussion, that couple from Waimanalo, you know, they said that we should be thankful. They stood up and said that we should be thankful to have the military in our neighborhood. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of people that has been brainwashed, you know, in believing that. And, you know, it would be good. I mean, there's just so many different opinions. Well,
and you know, I agree, too. You know, I was at that meeting, too. And, you know, Carol, I'm an ex-military. Yeah, I left some of my body parts in the Army. And, you know, I still believe that there should be quiet time for our kupunas and our children here in Waimanalo. Very important. So, you know, I you know, really feel for the people that have lost and fought for this country because, hey, I was right there also. And, you know, even if we couldn't be there, hey, we were there in our spirit and our hearts. So, you know, we're not against the military. Just please curb the time.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, isn't it funny? The discussion always turns to what you should do and how polite you should be.
Yeah.
When in fact, this is your government. But you know, I hope you go and dig in the records and find out who. That person is that told you about the IEDs. Being polite is one thing. When you're in church and when you're along the street walking on the sidewalks, and it's okay to be polite. You should be. But when someone is putting their foot around your neck, and then you constantly see, I'm familiar with this situation for 20 years now, and everybody's still nice. And you still, and Andrew, you look like you turned a snowman now. When I met you, you had black hair. You see what this military is?
Yeah, I had tank tops, too.
Yeah, you had tank tops.
Well, you know, Carol, just how you said we were nice, just to let the people know, back in 1893, we were nice even then.
Well, and look what happened then.
Look what happened then.
Yeah, well, one thing, and then we'll get this caller. Isn't it rather interesting that in the predominantly Native Hawaiian communities, one way in, one way out, and they both got military, and it's all kaboom, and you know, and I'm not going to say try that in Kahala, or try that on the military base. it just won't happen.
They've got quiet time too.
So I just remind all of you that when you put on that lei and you put on that cocky perfume and put on that hat with that feather lei and you walk over there and you reach your hand out to Colonel Duwa and you sit there, it's just a reflection of old days gone by, and he does what he wants to.
There you go.
And he says, "Hi, Auntie. Hi, Uncle. We're going to work with you." And then continually, you're dodging strikers and ospreys, and look in the air, it's a plane. No, it's a bird. You know, I mean, and then you're having a rundown, and then there comes Senator Noy. Yay, there's the senator. He brings lots of pork, but the grease is dripping in your face.
Yeah, there you go.
The pork. I'm sorry, not grease, but see how crazy I get sometimes. Good morning, caller. You have a comment?
Yeah, good morning. It's kind of scatter around a little bit, but first of all, I'd like to say that we shouldn't have as many enemies as we do, number one, and then we wouldn't need all this training. You know, I'm not against training the guys either, but on the other hand, why did we go to Iraq? They weren't there to defend us so that we could have freedom of speech. You know, so we've been in many foreign encounters that we shouldn't have been there in the first place. Mm-hmm. And our poor soldiers, they get stuck with having to do that, but we need to change the policy.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing is the military occupies over 25% of this island.
Yes.
And they are not a tax base. This is erroneous thinking. They pay almost no taxes here. The excise tax, they pay nothing when they shop in their tax-free stores. They pay zero.
Mm-hmm.
And the active military, many of them do not claim Hawaii as their home state for income tax purposes. And so I've preached this a lot, and I'm tired of myself about doing it. But every year it costs us, last fiscal year, it cost us over $266 million to educate the military dependents because they don't bring in taxes. They can bring in billions and billions of money into the state, but if we're not getting taxes out of them, it's not helping the state at all. And so we also have the revenue loss from, you know, from the ceded lands and their golf courses and all that, where some of them, I know, they pay a dollar a year. And this is a very serious thing. Now, the other thing I want to just quickly mention is I've got a I've been keeping track for 30, 40 years. The environmental disasters they have caused on this island, and I've done it through researching documents, plus kept all the clippings. And there's horrible dumping and stuff that they've done all over this island.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, more recently, a few years ago, it came out, you know, that I think it was Pearl Harbor was, and maybe another place on this island. Was on the EPA Superfund that was so deadly contaminated, and so this is just a terrible problem.
Mm-hmm.
There have been leakage of, I've got a thing here of 2,189 drums of solid nuclear waste that the Navy dumped 177 miles southwest of Oahu, and leakage of all kinds of drums of you know, whatever's in their drums. And many of them they dumped on the bottom of the ocean. I have all those documents, and so I'm not just making this up. So.
Oh, it's all. Carol's going to rent a boat and go out there.
All of that is true. And one of the things I would share, just an observation, and you can throw rocks at me or scream or un-American, but I must remind, and something that jumps out at me quite often when I hear, you're responsible because you don't want the training and the noise. You're responsible for the four soldiers or whomever, right? Why is it that minority people, and I'm going to tell you the way it is, in Vietnam, the bulk of the soldiers there were minorities, the loss of the ones that died, then 58,000 and a great many of them. And why is it that the same communities, the same people that these soldiers were drawn from, have to carry the brunt of the training and the contaminants and the chemicals and all of that? Why? So let's, you know, the nice is one thing, but unless you stand up and start to call it what it is and not be afraid to speak out and tell what it is and what's on the mind, nothing will ever happen. And for the legislators here, bringing and increasing the number of military personnel on an island that's already, they used to sing the song, we have the most fragile, irreplaceable environment on the planet. But those same people, when Daniel Inouye gets $7 million for a project, and when they the Marine Sanctuary and they do all of that, what good is it if you're throwing $7 million at that to increase that, and then you bring in $800 million to destroy it? So just a little reality check, and it is not just by coincidence or an accident that these communities find themselves carrying the brunt of the shoulder. And then when you say, this is too heavy, well, you know, if you keep complaining and don't hold your shoulders up, soldiers are going to die. Yeah, in fact, it'll be the soldiers from your neighborhood, your kids, my kids.
Yeah. There it is.
So, again, if you don't like that comment, then you
good
can call
point.
The military.
Very good point.
I wish I could help you on that. But anyway, go ahead, Colin. We're going to...
Okay, just one more thing, and that is that I think the reason why so much of this happens here, other than the influence of Inouye and people's gullibility, is that they get on the staffs of our, you know, of our legislators and the Chamber of Commerce, and they get the stores to hire their spouses instead of the local people for...
Sure.
You know, and on and on and on. So they, even though, again, they still don't get to pay much excise tax here and help us out financially at all, they are on very, very important staff.
Well, Thank you, Carla.
Okay.
Thank you.
Great point.
And important issues, a lot that I wasn't aware of. Thank you so much for calling.
And if you really want to really delve into that, and one day we will, if you look at the staffing of the legislative offices and all, we are pretty much militarized, even within our state government, even within our federal government. So checks and balances in this state, there's a big concern from my perspective, and that is you take Daniel Inouye, Senator Daniel Inouye. He had General Lahm running his office. You take Linda Lingle. She has General Lee. You see, you know, it's one thing to have a captive audience of soldiers marching. You can dictate to what they do, and they don't have much say because there's the Article 15 and all of the JAG issues. But in a civilian community, why are all of these people finding their way? And then you look at a lot of the military people, they get out and they find their way to the legislative process, become advisors to the right. Mm-hmm. So you might want to start looking at that, and then they find themselves on your RABs and on your neighborhood boards. This is by design. This is why they can bring in the Ospreys, the Strikers, the helicopters, the Chinooks, the landing crafts, and all that, and place it on the little area that they once used to say, this is pristine, irreplaceable, fragile, and unique.
Scared.
So again, you know, in the old days, they'd say radical, and I say, no, it's just someone. Just, it's about time. If we're going to solve anything or get a handle on it, you have to, in my opinion, you have to start speaking in those terms. I'm not advocating go out and become violent.
No, I hear you. I know exactly. Yeah,
but we got to be realistic. And when they march in at that neighborhood board and sit there and sing your song, and then you have to say, hold on, the noise is too loud. I've actually gone on a field trip where the noise is so loud you can't.
You can't hear yourself think, huh? Yeah, you can't hear yourself think.
And again, real quick, go ahead and I'll get this call. Good morning, caller. Real quick, you have a comment or question?
Yeah, since you love me so much, I just want to...
You know I do now.
...with Pokai Lainui.
Yeah?
And we talk about they want to... There's a move to get registered Hawaiians to vote. Now, if the biggest block voting in Hawaii would be Hawaiians if they went... took the time to go out and register to vote, they would have a big voice in the running of the state, but the Hawaiians don't vote. Now, if you take, when you say Hawaiian, you're not talking 50%, you're talking one drop blood. So anybody who is a drop, he may look Chinese or blonde, blue-eyed, howly. A lot of my friends are that way, but they're part Hawaiian. If you consider themselves Hawaiian, they go out and register to vote, as a Hawaiian block, we'd have the biggest voting block in the state, probably more than the Japanese voting block who continually puts
Ed,
in Maisie Hirono. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks, Ed.
Ed, you were broken up, and you know I do love you, and I mean that with sincerity. This is not to be disrespectful, and remember, this is just what we call a talk show, but it's still human, and I poke at but. But how can you exclude one's comments or and
keep them coming, Ed. Keep them coming.
But anyway, yeah, and there's, you know, he's managed to live longer than we have, clearly, so he knows something.
I can't help but, you know, wonder if maybe, you know, some Hawaiians choose not to vote because their voices weren't heard in the past, and maybe they are not confident that it'll be heard today. Yeah. But it is important. I agree with you, Ed. It is important that people get out and voice their opinions and cast their votes. That is very important. So you heard that, Hawaiians out there?
Yeah, but also you Americans out there, take your foot off their neck. They can't breathe.
Yeah.
If you take their foot off the neck, maybe they can make it to the voting booth, you know, or if they could get some sleep and... They could be reasonable in their thinking, you know, anything. But anyway, I'm being facetious. But thank you, guys, Andrew and Shelley. Let's do it again. I don't know if we accomplish anything, but at least we get the word out.
Hopefully, yes. So all we can do is pray and hope.
Okay, and vote.
And vote.
And pray.
Yeah. Thank you. And don't be afraid to say what's in your heart. And if you see something that doesn't feel right, doesn't seem right, do something about it.
Okay.
And I just want to thank Mr. Carol Cox from God's Country, Waimanalo.
Thank you very much.
Beautiful place. Okay, guys. Thank you, Andrew and Shelley.
Aloha.
All right.
Thank you for tuning in to the Carol Cox Show. Heard every Sunday mornings from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here on K108. Tune in again next time for the Carol Cox Show right here at KWAI Honolulu.
But look,
this is KWAI Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
I want to spend the night with you forever. Every time we wind up spending the night together, do you ever feel it? I want to share my life with you.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show on K108, heard every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. If you have questions for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080.
Hey, good morning again. Welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. I have a guest in again this morning, Claudia Charters, with Comfort Spiral Blogspot.
Hey, and Carol. How you doing?
Hey, how are you?
It's great to be here.
You started with me way back. You came in play, and you forgot your flute today.
I did.
We'll come back again. But you, when we did a show there at the yacht club, you You did some flute.
Yeah,
and we talked
right.
about hospice and all, and so some of you. Hey, tell us a little bit about yourself, and then I have a call here. I don't know.
Seem to be. That's great. Well, that may be from your last segment. You want to check them out, or?
Go ahead. Let's talk about you first.
Well, you know, I'm a Malahini. I've only been in Hawaii about 26 years. And, you know, I was reading some things that from 100 years ago, Paradise of the Pacific, you know, periodicals and memoirs and stuff. And mm-hmm. it seems to me that the main theme that runs through Hawaii is you should have been here 30 years ago.
Right.
I think the people back in the day were saying, you should have been here before Kamehameha got here. This island was awesome. But I saw something very special when I got here.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was just a Haole girl from the mainland. Didn't mm-hmm. know my Akoli from a plumeria blossom.
Mm-hmm.
Driving a taxi for Charlie's. And this is a great town, a great unique culture, great people here. And so I'm sold out. I'm never going anywhere else.
And as a repayment for that kindness, you do the blog, and you're quite vocal, and I'm always impressed with the things and the reaching out, and it is Hawaii, Hawaiiana, what you talk about and some of the scenes, and give your blog connections, and then also you can find it at carolcox.com, carolcox.com. You can find a link to Claudia's page.
Well, you know, there's so many problems today. We're like if I say spiral, you say downward spiral or death spiral. I mean, people are upset today, and rightly so. There's a lot of things going on. But I try to create a space called comfort spiral,
mm-hmm.
where if you just kind of peek into the spiral, you're going to get drawn in. You're going to get drawn into some comfort, into some sharing. And we're going to talk about the positive things to kind of empower you and make you feel good. And I like to think it's a membership site where mm-hmm. people come and leave comments and mm-hmm. share ideas.
And your book now, you also authored a book, and it can be obtained through Amazon.
You know, Carol, I always...
Tell me about that book, or tell them about it. I've already...
I was driving around Honolulu for Charlie's, and this was just such a fantastic culture, such great people. And I just saw plane loads of tourists landing every day, going straight to Waikiki and getting that drink with the umbrella in it. And I thought, oh, my God, they are missing a real treasure.
Mm-hmm.
They're missing the person in front of them. They're missing the... There's a beach anywhere in the world. You can get a Mai Tai in Mexico, but you can only meet the Hawaiian people and learn a little something about the Hawaiian culture
mm-hmm.
here. And, you know, I really felt that Hawaii kind of saved my life in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what my book is, a little attempt to give something back. It's called Aloha, Where You Like Go.
Mm-hmm.
And we're in the Hawaii State Library. Isn't that amazing? And at Amazon. But, you know, if you love bookstores and you have a chance to get over to Kailua, maybe Carol will agree with me, Bookends in Kailua is a real bookstore with real people. It's not corporate. They're not going to sell you. You can hang out. And I'm really pleased that that is the place on the island to
go. Where
is
that located? What street?
They're right on that main strip in Kailua mm-hmm. there, Bookends, across the main drag from Whole Foods.
Mm.
And I won't go on and on, Carol. I just wanted to say that I can't dance hula. So this book was my attempt to capture some of the wonderful things about how Hawaii saved my life, about what life is about, what Hawaii is about, mm-hmm. the real, what aloha really means. It's not just a slogan. And I just end by saying, by name dropping, and someone I admire enormously is Robert Casimiro, and had the good luck to meet him. He's a friend of a friend. We're not best buds, but he read Aloha, Where You Like Go, and he told me, he said, I loved your book. I laughed, I cried, I got chicken skin. So check it out if you would like to. Aloha, Where You Like Go. If only in the back there's a glossary of Hawaiian and pidgin words back there.
Good morning, caller. Thanks for waiting. You have a comment or question?
Yeah, hi, Carol. Wonderful hearing about the book, but I had actually met you yesterday at Whole Foods.
Yeah.
This is Chelsea. How are you?
Hi, Chelsea. This is in the same vein of you're talking about, Claudia.
Oh, hey, welcome, Chelsea. Carry on, you guys.
Now, I asked Chelsea to call in because I was at Whole Foods yesterday, and I see this lady sitting there with this beautiful cat, and it's a tortie, and it's very young, and the bun, and I was curious as to why she was sitting there. And what Chelsea has this cat, and she was actually sitting there attempting to get someone to adopt it. Chelsea, tell us a little bit about yourself quickly, and then about the cat, and maybe someone out there would want to give a home to this cat.
Yeah, wonderful. I actually have been living in Hawaii for a couple of years now and really feel the aloha. I love it here. It's funny, I was laughing listening because this is home for my husband and I, too. We're never going anywhere now after being transplants. But I found this kitten under my car, crying, adorable, and in a parking lot. She's about 7 weeks old, and she can't see out of one eye, but she sees just fine out of the other, and she's just the sweetest little lap cat he ever saw. So she needs a home now, somebody to love her. I've got two of my own, and one of those is a big Maine Coon baby who doesn't understand why mom's attention is drawn elsewhere right now, so mm-hmm. We need to find her a home.
Yeah, what's a number that someone can be, and for myself, I just, in the last 3 months, adopted two more cats that I found that were sick, and we nursed them back and found four, but I just admire, she sat there on the curb for at least 3 hours that I watched.
Yeah, I think it might have been a little bit longer than that.
You were there when I arrived. But anyway, what is the number and contact information?
My name is Chelsea, and phone number is 808-840-9541. And me and this little nameless kitten will actually be back outside the Kahala Whole Foods in a little while here if we don't find her home yet. I think she can sell herself. She's so cute. So.
Give me that number again, because I was trying and I was thinking. Give me the number again.
Yeah, it's 840-9541.
Okay. All righty. Hey, thank you, and thank you for caring. I was moved, and I had to run down, and it's kind of strange to run up to someone and say, here, can you take my card and call tomorrow? Because this kitten is absolutely beautiful, and he's only been with you for a short while, and it was like looking at a little kid.
It's amazing how quickly she bonded. I'm falling in love with her already.
So I
need to find her home quick. But.
I could tell, and I'm thinking the longer they sit there together, she's not going to get rid of this kid.
That's what I think my husband's afraid of, too. So.
Okay, well, thank you.
Thank you so much.
And if you can, can you send me a picture, if you have a picture of it, to Carol at carolcox.com?
I will send you a picture right now.
Please do. Okay, thank you. So anyway.
Thanks, honey. That's great.
Thank you, Chelsea.
That is awesome. There's nothing like having a pet.
See, that's why I love living here. You can be as soft as you wish to be, and you don't have to worry about it. And when you see, every day I see something personally that moves me in a good way. Every single day. Maybe I was not looking for it on the mainland, but I can't recall, when we talk about aloha. But I can look to my right, and I'm going to find something that motivates me and tell me life is worth living, and there's a kindness to people. Look to my left, the same thing. If even when I'm out digging in the dirt and looking at where they've dumped on us, someone will inevitably come up and offer something. So it's just not the sun and the wind and the rain and the sand and the beautiful flowers. There's something else that permeates
in the air here.
What is it?
A spirit here, a definite spirit. I think that the host culture is the obvious answer to that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, I think the ali'i are still very real mm-hmm. to local people. We still celebrate them and think about them. And what is it, what is that legacy that's still alive, that still touches our hearts? Mm-hmm. It's their hearts. Mm-hmm. It's their charity. It's their real concern for their people. We see back in a colonial age when a brown-skinned monarch was at a disadvantage in a world system mm-hmm. that was centered in Europe, and these ali'i valiantly did what they could in a very tough system and mm-hmm. day mm-hmm. to keep their people free and happy and unencumbered. And I think it's there. It's from Queens Hospital, you know, on down to Liliuokalani Children's Center. It's you know, mm-hmm. in fact, the middle school over there on Queen Emma down here, that was Princess Ruth's property, you know, mm-hmm. and now it's a school, and I think she would have liked that a lot.
I this is nonsensical to the listener, but for me, I sometimes joke, maybe it's because we are near the volcano, and from the earth, all of those fresh and new gases that give life, and we get to breathe it first. And, wow. and all of that, I just jokingly think to myself many a times, maybe that's what we really like, laughing gas, like marijuana does to some people, you know, or whatever. Is it? Because
I don't think you're going to convince me that Vog is making anybody very happy.
I can't.
Not today, certainly.
Well, no, I'm not going to convince him, but they could move to Mississippi.
Well, you know more about that than I do, Carol.
Well, I mean, just it's hot and muggy, and even though the locusts and the cicadas sound good, you know, nothing more beautiful than in the afternoon.
Oh, honey, you try Philly or Baltimore in August, and then we're going to talk, okay? I came up in some pretty hot turf.
But anyway, back to Hawaii and about the political scene, because you don't limit yourself to any subject.
Let's talk a little bit about that, if we can, you know.
Don't hold back.
You know, a couple of years ago, I had an experience right here in Kaiser Hospital where I couldn't breathe. I had pneumonia really bad. And, you know, when you can't get that next breath, a lot of things come very sharp and very clear in your mind. Mm-hmm. And I really feel that I gained a lot of insight from, frankly, a near-death experience. And when I came back from that, one of the things I realized was that so much of what we consider the big issues, the important things, the stuff worth fighting about, the things that we think are important are actually kind of the window dressing here. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times the stuff that we think is not that important, we're going to get to it later.
Right.
We're driving in traffic to get to our volunteer thing, and we're like, get the heck out of my way. Okay. I'm going to do a good deed, you jerks. You know, and we lose sight of the fact that it's how we treat ourselves and think about ourselves, mm-hmm. our own value, and the people around us.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I was talking about the ali'i a couple of minutes ago, and they were monarchs, I mean, but they felt a responsibility to the people. It wasn't a democracy, but they served the people. That's what we love about the Queen and the British monarchy. They don't have power to make trouble for us, but we recognize duty. Mm-hmm. We recognize that they stand for something and that they're always working, and we admire that. So I became ordained as a minister. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to preach. I'm not building anything. I'm not collecting money for anything. But to understand where I'm coming from, I want to like kind of confess that and put that out mm-hmm. there. The message that was given to me to share, every ministry is different. Some people are political. Some people are building something. Some people are medical missionaries. I really felt that that the spirit of everything right and good and beautiful spoke to me and said, I'm going to give you this mission, and that mission is that I don't hear anybody telling my people that I love them, I'm cheering them on, I really appreciate all the good, what Carol was talking about a minute ago. You got good brothers everywhere you go.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's criticizing people, telling them what they need to do, trying to sell them, trying to motivate them, trying to lead them and mislead them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the message that I got directly from God was that to you, individual listener, to you, Carol, and to me too, God believes in you. Mm-hmm. That's what's important, not what we believe or what we do. You're doing a great job. Hang in there. Love each other. Believe in each other. Treat each other right. Now, let's just for a minute, if I can, talk mm-hmm. about politics.
Go for it.
Now, people in Hawaii care so much about our culture here, about our kupuna, about our kids, about our infrastructure. And I don't think I'll get thrown out of the state if I say that people feel they've been bulldozed for a long time. Citizens like me who care naively go to hearings. It's a big deal for them. They don't do this every day. They take time off. They're nervous the whole week beforehand. Some of them travel a long way. They come to a hearing, and frankly, Carol, what happens is they get used and they get disillusioned. Mm-hmm. Eventually, they realize no one's listening to them, that it's window dressing on what the people in charge already decided they're going to do. And so what happens is people become frustrated. People become angry. We don't feel like our leaders are listening to us very often. Now, I like our governor a lot. I really do. I'm fond of Neil and what he stands for. But, you know, during the election season, do you know how many times I ran into Neil and got hugged? I really felt, hey, this guy recognizes my face and knows me. I wrote some things to support him that got circulated out there, and I wasn't looking for a job.
Mm-hmm.
I just believed in the mission. And you know what I noticed? Right after the election, people who seemed like they really got it, who were really accessible, who really understood your needs and were speaking directly to you, all of a sudden that wall goes up, and they're back running the agenda that you're not privy to.
Right.
I know you know what I'm talking about, Carol.
No, I don't. Yes, I do.
Was there something in the paper today?
Oh, yeah. I was just going to mention later, but man, that there's this public land, whatever you call it. Public Land Development Corporation in William Island. It has an article there.
Now, they're not going to have to follow any of the rules, are they, or I have to follow?
Yeah, and recognizing that there exists a pervasive assumption about its powers, the PLDC this week is considering adoption of a strategic plan that reaffirms adherence to federal and state laws on the environment. You know, Brother Isla, I love him, honestly. He has done some good things, and just to hear him chat about different issues.
Wasn't that thrilling to see a Hawaiian activist like him given an office of real power? Thrilling.
Well, hold your thoughts now.
Because, you tell me, bro.
Because, you see, there's, from my and your stance, we can see that. But let's look who appointed him. And while he's making this statement, I offer these words. We did a story. It is on this show we uncovered the fact that Neil Abercrombie had suspended all environmental laws, zoning, clean water, and all of that in a proclamation. So to say... To say that now we're going to, and meantime, he was also putting in place this PLDC. So, I that's the danger of life that presents sometimes when they take a person that we all familiar with and appoint them. That person is not skilled at knowing that once you take their money and their job, you're going to go down in smoke as a non-player or some way find your way out, or either you adopt their policies and you preach their policies and you believe in their policies and you implement them. And this is what is happening. I see Isla in this predicament as the image that everyone saw the other night of Barack Obama, President Barack Obama. While having no response, can't on his feet. Maybe there's a strategy. I don't know. But to offer that, recognizing that there exists a pervasive assumption about its powers, the PLDC this week is considering adoption of a strategic plan that reaffirms adherence to federal and state law.
This is what we were talking about, isn't it, Carol?
Yeah.
People immediately see something new happening, and they know it isn't good.
Yeah.
How is this going to affect me?
And then, see, it's one thing to be duped. It adds insult, and then it allows all parties involved to an onlooker to ask the question of Isla. It's one thing to find yourself being at fault, but then when you support something, and then you go out and write an article about it, and then you chastise others and you attack them. So my statement is, look back in history. I would say to the Native people, it is not about what Howley's did to you along singularly. It's about what your own will do to you for the sake of getting some power, or getting recognition, or accomplishing what they want as individuals. Neil Abercrombie has already told us that a building is going to go up, one of the tallest buildings around. That came through the PLDC. Neil Abercrombie has already given land back in a trade. Where was the public involvement in that?
See, and I would say, Carol, that if people who want to participate had been allowed to meaningfully participate over the recent decades, we would have a collaborative atmosphere.
Yeah.
Now we have an atmosphere where everyone's back is up and nothing's getting done,
mm-hmm.
on a national and a local level. And I would ask you, Carol, you're a smart man, who do you think benefits when the people can't get together? Who's when we're being misled and look at the state of our discourse today. If you try to talk to your conservative friend. Now, when I was working my way through UH, they taught me there was this thing called an ad hominem argument,
mm-hmm.
that is a logical fallacy. In other words, if you're going to have a discussion about something, this is something that ruins the argument, that is not have anything to do with the facts of the argument. An ad hominem argument is an attack on the person. So when I ask my conservative friend, wow, I'd really like to hear your take on President Clinton's speech at the Democratic Convention. I thought it was great. You have a different point of view. Tell me something to open my mind. Tell me how to think like you do.
Mm-hmm.
What didn't you like about it?
Yeah.
Well, I think you know what your conservative friend is going to do. He's going to start saying, oh, you conservatives, Clinton just blows up your skirts, doesn't he? And you all love Slick Willie. And I'm like, whoa,
mm-hmm.
I'm not talking about whether we like Bill Clinton. What did you like or not like about what he said?
Mm-hmm.
That's the point. We're not talking about details today. Now, I know you've heard that Eric Holder is the worst attorney general ever.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so I would ask the person who's saying that, who was the second worst? And I don't think they're really into all these details, and they're just repeating something that they heard. So just 1 minute.
Oh, you take your time.
So let me share something with you about Eric Holder being the worst. We've had a long history in America. In my lifetime, two attorneys general. I love that word, attorneys general, instead of attorney generals. Okay, I'm getting off to two attorney generals that you and I both remember in our lifetime, Carol. They were both convicted of federal crimes that were appointed by Mr. Nixon, which is neither here nor there. So Mr. Holder was just cleared of this oversight and involvement in this Fast and Furious thing that everybody's worked up about, that apparently was something that's been done long before he ever came to office, and that he... yes, the buck stops with him, but this was way below his pay grade when those things went wrong. When you tell me that Eric Holder is the worst, I see two attorney generals that I personally remember who were convicted of serious federal crimes. I think at least one of whom went to jail.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that's worse. What did Eric Holder do that you don't like other than being black, mm-hmm. while being attorney general?
Yeah.
And if you can't admit that or face that or own up to that yourself, it doesn't make it less true.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you picking on this guy? Do you know who appointed Eric Holder was a working-class kid in New York, no family connections, nothing. Worked his way up through school. He was appointed a federal judge and a chief prosecutor. You know by who? St. Ronald Reagan chose Eric Holder to hold those offices of trust. So just repeating that Eric Holder is the worst attorney general ever is not persuasive. Mm-hmm. It's not an argument. Mm-hmm. Hit me with a fact, brah. So I have a background in public health, working with people, helping to convince people to do things for their own good and their own sake. And I would say now that we got a political dialogue where people just they just love to argue. Mm-hmm. You know, and so I would say you got to think more about what's emotionally true to the person in front of you. Mm-hmm. What is it that's really chapping their goat, you know? Mm-hmm. And to try to break this, they say this, you say that, we're in an impasse now, you know? So let's not talk about liberal and conservative. Let's talk about you and me. Mm-hmm. Let's be neighbors. Let's talk about what matters to us, and maybe new solutions will evolve that way.
Yeah, and this reminds me of quite often, I think, and about the subject of racism, which people tend to stay away from it because it's a sensitive subject. But the reality is, and many will say, racism went away, and it now it's raising its ugly head. But the reality is, not just racism, sexism, which is, and other hatreds and bigotry that exists and prevalent. What happened, it never died, it never went away. What happened, the system to manage this created the EEOC. So you didn't get the chatter and the overt discussion of racism like it before all of this happened. So what would happen? By managing and containing it, you have the EEOC. You send all the parties that have a concern with racism or expressing concern that they've been treated as a result of their race or their religion or what have you. It goes into the EEOC. And then it has an 180 days or whatever time frame. So, and it also is placed under a degree of secrecy because it's a private matter now and we can't discuss it and it's an investigation. But if you stand back and look at the number of race-based cases that came about because of alleging racism, they were quite prevalent. We can track them and figure out, go back and look at the records, but that was one way of quieting it down. It wasn't a public discussion. So they contained that. Within the state agencies, they have the EEOC or the Civil Rights Commission, which you experience something that you think is racist or bigotry or whatever, or sexism, you go in and you file a complaint with the state agency. Then the state agency sits on it, does nothing, and then tell you, now you can go to the federal system. So if we were to be honest with ourselves and look at, racism never went away. It was just contained and a cap put on it through this process. And many of those cases were washed out. Either you didn't respond in time. Never addressed the real issues of the racism. And then you have a culture of lawyers who found that in the beginning you made big money. Now it's a culture of, well, the judge is not going to give you much money for this, and a lot of the lawyers are going to decline even involving, or you pay it, and then it's a crapshoot. So racism never went away. So it's now raising its, quote, ugly head in the form of a African-American president or a white American president, depending on which line you stand on, right? Because is that when just a case in point, when we talk about racism and it went away, if it went away, why are we debating whether he's black or white? It was who brought up this one drop of blood and of black blood, then you're black. You know, so racism never went away. Sexism never went away. It's just that they contained it.
You know, you know, Carol, you're talking about something really interesting here. That system was set up, if I hear you properly, first of all, it frustrates people who don't have faith in the system, and people who do get not considered or not listened to or passed over because of their age, race, gender. They already don't have faith in the system. Mm-hmm. And what I hear you saying, and frankly what I've experienced myself through my own observations, mm-hmm. is that this has become a system to kind of sweep these things off the sidewalk so we won't talk about them, we won't agitate about them. They will go into this nice, clean little place where they'll get transformed into where all the energy and all the heat and all the potential change will be taken out of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's really interesting because social scientists will tell us that, you know, a little kid is playing, and what is the first thing they want to know about a new toy? Is this a boy thing or a girl thing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's their developmental stage. Gender is so key to them. Well, and to all of us, you know, but social scientists, through some very clever experimentation, have discovered that most of us, when we look at another person, before we even see their gender, we see how old they are, we see their age, we mm-hmm. see their race.
Mm-hmm.
We make decisions about these on a subliminal level. And I'm old enough myself to confess, Carol, I think that people of a certain age, certainly older than you and me, when they see a person different from themselves, mm-hmm. whether it's culturally, racially, skin color, whatever it is, I'm sorry, just because of the world we all grew up in and the way we were all raised, it's noticed.
Mm-hmm.
There is a response within ourselves, whether we want. You know, all this new Me TV is on, and all these new stations that are showing the old TV shows. You know, that's really instructive. Get some of your younger relatives and friends to watch some shows from the 50s. Apparently, back in the 50s, everybody was white and kind of Anglo. If you saw an Italian on a TV show, mm-hmm. or an Asian, or a person of color, they were there for a reason to advance the plot. They weren't just another person in the show,
right,
like we see today. So we have experienced a lot of change in our lifetime, Carol, but, you know, you're absolutely right. We're not there yet. We're mm-hmm. certainly not there yet. And I just find it extremely suspicious that this president, who is a middle of the road, they never talk about his grandfather who raised him, a World War II veteran like my dad. Stanley is buried up in Punchbowl right over in here. We could see from the studio. No one ever talks about the influence of Stanley Dunham on Barack Obama. They want to talk about his grandfather in Africa who he never met.
The art of races. Behavior of a racist is to strip that entity of any dignity or any humanity. So you go at a person like Eric Holder, who Barack Obama appointed, and you call him the worst, right? So now you've stricken at his decisions and his choices, and now you go and attack him. And then you have the Glenn Becks, who sit and talk so openly. And the strategy is, you shouldn't use the N-word. And Barack, they try to take the card away from people in general by talking about race. I think Ann Coulter wrote a book about race here recently. And it's like, well, why don't you make your own decision and look around you and see accomplishments and get past the skin. But it's not just the skin, it's about control. And there's this party of people that want to not let go and not accept all parties. And not the Republican Party, because I owe my success as in conservation work to Ronald Reagan, because the Democrats weren't fighting to hire people of color in these fields.
So Reagan hired you and Eric Holder.
In California, yeah, serious. And so... they weren't having it. When I went in, there have been other. Jerry Brown was around, and all. He didn't make an aggressive effort to hire. Liberals can be deceiving.
Yes.
And you know, they tell you, oh yeah, and like with Neil Abercrombie. Neil Abercrombie behaved to me like a southern gentleman by using Isla and putting him in these positions and using others and partnering up and calling them auntie and uncle. and then in turn still moving forward to bring in foreign entities to invest and spend without setting some mechanism in place to protect the interests of the native people that he so dearly loved as uncle and aunt. This is a playbook from the Southern gentleman's playbook.
Yes, yes.
So he can deny it, and I limit myself to certain commentary.
It's not, it's not about race. It's not about party. From hearing me talk, you may think, oh, well, this lady's one of these dingbat liberals. I got to tell you something. There are people on the left. When I was a little kid, I remember JFK being elected and shot. I was a very young kid. I remember Dr. King. I remember a lot of things that we have been through. And, gosh, I forgot.
That's okay. At our age, we should forget everything.
I forgot where I was going about that.
But here's an example. Much attention is quoting Isla. This is in the Honolulu Star Advertisers, the Views and Voices. Much attention has been placed on the PLDC's land use exemptions, but these are not a threat. You know,
says who?
What exemptions? I mean, you on one hand you're talking about transparency and you're going to go, but to arrive at this point, you've already suspended all laws and what have you.
This is what we were just talking about. This is kind of what Mitt is doing. This is what Rush does. They talk about people and how awful people are. They put them down. They put on a good show. But when it gets down to the details, they're really sketchy about the details.
I submit this. Willie Horton. If Willie Horton's scenario came about, they didn't abandon that strategy and that thought. We're just seeing another Willie Horton moment. And what I saw, I didn't see President Barack Obama as a weak lack of response. I thought it was brilliant if you look at it from my perspective, and that is, like Donald Trump, if you recall, he engaged himself and engaged the president. And it was as though, You boys don't know how to handle this boy. I'll show you how to handle this boy. And this is what I took away. And you know,
it was demeaning.
Well, I'm just telling you this. Well, I'll show you guys. This is Trump, and I'll step in and I'll show you. Well, he got smacked down. You know. So on the other hand, what I saw the other night was yet another attempt by Mitt Romney to carry that ball a little further. I'll stand in here and I'll show him, regardless of lying. And they say, well, he didn't call him on his lies. Well, wait, let's stop there. If you know this man is lying, if the president fell asleep, he should have that right to. How do you respond to a lie? And you're all now, Chris Matthews and others and the talking heads, they're angry at Barack Obama. And I'm thinking, this isn't logical. You're on one hand saying Barack Obama didn't respond timely. But on the other hand, you're saying that Romney lied. So how do you give credibility and credence to anything or muster up a response to lies?
How do you find a problem with the president's lack of response when the bigger issue on that podium that night was Mitt was saying things that contradicted things that he said on the record recently?
Yeah.
So it is very confusing. Let me say a couple of things about the election. You know, I like PBS and I like that narrator guy, the moderator guy, Lehrer. Mm-hmm. And you know, but I think he's getting up there in age, and I think he's used to being treated with a certain the moderator
right,
is
right.
used to being in an atmosphere of deference and reason, and I think he totally let it get away from him.
Yeah.
And I also want to say a couple of things about our president. You know, one thing you can't deny about Barack is that he's a human being. Any one of us can have a family problem. He's got young children.
Mm-hmm.
Any of us can have a spouse problem. Honey, he got a wife. The man is running the nation. He's respected around the world. I'm so tired of hearing about his apology tour because you know what? Get them to show you some tape. Ask them specifically what they're talking about. They don't know what they're talking about. They're just repeating a story they heard. Barack Obama is respected around the world and has restored the respect of this nation. Right before all of our eyes, Mitt Romney went to our closest ally and insult people. I mean, if you read what the British paper said, they were very, for reserved people, they were really insulted. They were like, who the hell is this guy? The Americans are going to make this guy president. So I just want to say that, and I also want to add one more thing about the debate. I think you, Carol, and me, well, maybe you're a little tougher than me, but listener, how many times have you been faced by a tall, good-looking man in an expensive suit who knows exactly what he wants to sell you, how the world works? He's going to condescend to try to explain it to you a little bit, but of course he doesn't have time, and you're not smart enough to understand it like he does. Mm-hmm. I'm tired of being sold by those slick guys. I saw nothing so much as a sales routine, a very cynical sales routine from Mr. Romney. And I'm just hoping that Lincoln was right. You can't fool all the people all the time. And I hope the president's going to have a better debate next time.
Well, I think what I'd offer to that is that when you maybe these empty stares that they and looking down, remember, this was a debate. I mean, I'm not defending the president. But this is a debate, and he is the president of the United States, and so he's been dealing with all of today's problems up until the moment he walked in, not making excuses. He is the president. On his shoulders, all of the United States issues on his shoulders and decisions before him that once he leaves that and he gets back in role, what did the other fellow have to do? He's been marching around the country, practicing his speeches, and
practicing and rehearsing.
He rose to the top of that army of useless, no-name people that went down in flame. All of those that were running in his party against him.
They were so bad, they made him look good.
Yeah. And so all of a sudden now, this man stands up. He wants to take what this man has. And that is the presidency of the United States. We don't have anything real solid evidence that what Mitt Romney, forget the statements and all that he's going to make. What I do know is that process, that at one moment he was the lowest of the low. He was in the bottom of the barrel. Then he rose above Herman Cain, and then he knocked down by, slapped down by Gingrich and Santorum and sanatoriums, and they all need you follow. And now all of a sudden, see, it wasn't like we start from scratch with Ronald Reagan or someone of good standings. We're talking about someone that was in the bottom of the barrel, not on my opinions, but this is what was said by his own party.
Yeah.
But you know, okay, we'll all agree now. He's going to go in and take this black man out. You see, this is what I got.
It's
going
you
away.
Know it's because what I see on the Republican side at this point is a lot of very sincere, a lot of very angry, and a lot of very misdirected people.
Mm-hmm.
They know things aren't right, but you know the playbook is you try to shift the blame over to the person who came to help. And I really think the president came to help. I think he's got a heart for the middle class.
So I don't know if that spiral out of control, but with your comfort spiral.
I'm just spiraling all over. You got to rein me in, Carol.
But no, I tend to try. I avoid talking openly about this because, but occasionally I do because people don't want to grasp the basic fundamentals and the. You start from scratch and call it what it is if you're going to address something. You know, you wouldn't, well, we won't talk about that, and we won't use the N-word. We can't say they're racist, and, you know, we can't say what Ronald Reagan, and we can't say what the last George Bush did. It's all, let's start with Barack Obama. Well, that would be denying history.
That's what I'm saying.
And that's how we arrived where we are now.
It has taken decades and both parties to create the situation we're in now.
Yeah.
The president came along. He saved General Motors and all the subsidiary jobs. That's why he's doing so well in Ohio. Those people know where their jobs came from. Mitt Romney said, if you recall, let it go bankrupt. the president is regarded, I'm sorry, by anybody who isn't Rush Limbaugh, if you want to go to any real economist throughout the world, he saved the world economic system. I don't know about you, but do you remember how you felt when your retirement account, if you have one, was going through the floor? Mm-hmm. Those were scary times. President's done a pretty good job.
Hold on. Caller, good morning. Real quick, you have a comment, a question.
Yeah, good morning. You know, Nick Romney talks about all these corporations that he started. One of them is Staples, and they're closing some stores down on the mainland. And he said he was a pioneer of that stores and everything else. But
mm-hmm.
and I think, you know, Mr. Obama has tried doing his best, but you know, with this Congress and whatnot. Mm-hmm. Controlled by the House, by the Republicans.
So true.
And look how his age, his hair is all white. And, you know, there's a lot of stress on the president, you know. And I want to see if this ever, God forbid, Romney gets in, I want to see if he goes gray as fast as all the other presidents.
Well, he's already gray. He's just a Michelin man. You know, what is that dye, hair
now
dye?
You look at Staples, the people at the top are doing deals and making money. But the people who work at Staples can lose their jobs.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
And so what we're talking about is not so much even race or anything. What we're talking about these days is class,
yeah.
Where you come from. And I personally felt very insulted when I held Ann Romney talking about their college days and that table made out of a door and everything.
Uh-huh.
She was a mayor's daughter. Mitt's dad was an industrialist and a governor. If they wanted to play at being poor college students, I mean, just for them to talk about that shows they don't relate to you and me, the people who really did have to work our way through college.
That's
they
struggle.
Just don't know what life is like for people like us. That's why they scare me.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Aloha. Anyway, that being the president, it's an awesome sight either way. But one of the things that I think we're also not willing to admit is that the Democratic Party had some power and they let it drip away because they too were lazy and they too were conflicted.
Both parties are culpable.
Many of these issues, you know, I think about how did Neil Abercrombie walk away when Barack Obama was in the midst of about voting for the medical bill? Why would you leave Congress and you changing the numbers and the, you know? So the Democratic Party is just as culpable. And I look at the Senator Inouye, he didn't embrace Barack Obama. And I don't know if he really does it now. I just don't believe that. So it goes both ways, but the issue is racism. And unless we speak openly and direct about it, and I don't mean talking about, well, let's not use the N-word. No. You can't be a racist and then turn around and dictate what the victim can say or can't say.
It just shocks me when people, I can see in the way they respond and react, that the most important thing that strikes their eye when they meet a person is the person's color.
Yeah.
And like, I just can't believe people still live in that world.
Yeah. Well, Claudia, thank you. We're coming down at the end. Give again your book and how to look at your blog.
Swing by the website. It's Comfort Spiral. If you just Google me, I'm right there at the top, the Comfort Spiral blog. You can get the book, which I think you'll really touch your heart, and it's all the things you love about Hawaii, called Aloha, Where You Like Go. Get over to Bookends over in Kailua and pick it up. Thanks so much for having me.
We'll have you back again. I'm sorry it takes so long. But next week we're going to have Eric Ryan. And Eric Ryan, my God, the things that have been happening. Kimberly Pine had him arrested here recently, and he's going to the ACLU and a lot of things, folks. So you definitely want to join in next week if I have to say so myself. So, again, some serious things. And she even got a TRO because she said that he made her feel bad. So anyway, guys, please join me next week. I think it's going to be really good. So I'll talk to you next week, and thanks for joining. Carol at carolcox.com is the email, and carolcox.com is the website.
Thanks, Carol.
Ooh, yeah.
I've been around a while. I know wrong from right. Learned a long time ago, things ain't always black and white. Just like you can't judge a book by the cover, we all got to be careful how we treat one another. Skin deep, skin deep underneath, we all the same. Skin deep, skin deep underneath.
Thank you for tuning in to the Carol Cox Show. Heard every Sunday mornings from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here on K108. Tune in again next time for The Carol Cox Show right here at KWAI Honolulu.